Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 5. Proverbs, chapter 5. We'll read verses 17 through 21 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Proverbs, chapter 5, verses 17 through 21. Proverbs 5, verses 17 through 21. Let them be only thine, and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as the loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? And let's finish on verse 21 together. Ready? For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. And let's pray. Father, thank you again. It's sure wonderful to walk into a church and feel your presence, to know the Holy Spirit's here, that he works in a mighty way here. And Father, I guess we shouldn't just expect you to, we should ask you to. So once again, would you work in our hearts? Thank you for this group of people, how warm and how wonderful it is to be here. Father, please fill our preacher with your power as he preaches. Fill our hearts with your love and with your openness to receive what you have for us today, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
My wife and I, this week has been a little nostalgic for us. We've enjoyed it in a special way because we, on May the 22nd, celebrated our 25th wedding anniversary. I'll give you the title of the sermon this morning. It's called Why We Are Still Happily Married After 25 Years. I've thought through the last 25 years of our life and what we have learned. First of all, here in Proverbs chapter 5, it's talking about a husband-wife relationship. In verse number 18, it talks about, someone said, I want to rejoice with the wife of my youth. Now, let me say this, according to the context of this scripture, this is someone later in life that is looking back and saying, I want to rejoice with the wife that I married many years ago, the wife of my youth. I think it's someone saying, I want to rejoice now, many years later, with the wife that I married when I was a younger man. To those of you that are, you've been married for many, many years, please listen. I don't think that anyone has their relationship as purified as what it could be. So, though you say, well, Brother Owens, I've been married far longer than 25 years, probably, whatever it is, it would keep someone happy, like my wife and I for 25 years. We could learn from that, and it would help us to stay happy beyond 25 and to 40 and to 50 years. To the young people that are not married here today, I wish you'd listen very carefully. You won't read some book 1 week before marriage and be all prepared for the married life. That's not going to happen. You need to be learning continuously about marriage, and so you will know what to do to have a happy marriage. To a lot of you, I'm going to say some things that you've heard said at one time or another, but you listen very, very carefully. Now, to some, you say, Brother Owens, I'm not married, nor will I be. I understand that, but you bear with us as I try to help our people to be reminded of those things that will help them to be happy in their marriages. The Bible says here, someone's looking back, I believe, and said, I want to rejoice with the wife of my youth. As I grow older, I want my marriage to get better, and I want to rejoice again, experience joy. Now, the only way you can rejoice, that prefix there, R-E, means again. The only way you can rejoice is you had to have joy in the first place. I want some of you married couples, as you grow older, to be able to look back and enjoy again in your memory some of the things that you did spiritually and did in your marriage in the earlier part of your life. The Bible talks here about being satisfied with your mate. It talks about being ravished with their love. And I think that includes the physical relationship, but I think it also includes the emotional relationship of love. It even goes on to say that the man writing this proverb, he says, I want to stay away from a strange woman. I'm going to cling to my wife. I want someday down the line to have some wonderful memories, and I want to rejoice. I want to look back. I want to remember the earlier parts of our marriage, and I want to remember them with satisfaction. I want to remember them, and I want them to make me happy. I want to remember them, and I want to enjoy them. And that is what the passage of Scripture is talking about. Now, my wife and I, on May 22nd, celebrated our 25th wedding anniversary. To us, it was and is a big deal. We have been talking about and kind of celebrating this thing all the month of May. We have just been enjoying it. It's a big deal to us. That because most of the people, I mean most, this is not an exaggeration, most of the people my wife and I went to high school with have, they're on their second, third, and fourth marriages. We don't hear of the people. We went to a public school back in Indiana. We just don't hear the testimonies of the people that we graduated high school with, where they got married, and they stayed married, and they're living happily ever after. Just don't hear of it. Now, she and I, holding hands, walking through our yard, we're talking and saying things like, boy, isn't it great? They will hear that testimony from Jeff and Sherry Owens. They will hear that we did get married. We stuck it out. We've stayed together. We've had 25 wonderful years. Now, we enjoy being married. We don't endure our relationship. We enjoy our relationship. Now, I realize something. I realize there are others who have that are here that have been married far longer than we've been married. I think Mrs. Peterson and I were talking earlier, and I think we figured up. She and I were talking in the hallway. 59 years she and her husband have been married. 59 years. That's incredible. 59 years. And this is what she said. Same man, 59 years, and she said, it has been a fantastic marriage. She said, he never hit me. He's never been rude or unkind to me. She said, this weekend, many, many years ago is when we met, and this very weekend, and we were talking about that, and then I think, let's see, Brother English, where are you at? 61 years. 60 years in August. Can you imagine? 60 years. Now, these folks, of course, here I'm about to talk about how my wife and I have been married for 25 years. Many of you, there are people in this building that have been married for 30 and 40 and 50 and 60 years. Bob Jones. Brother Bob, you've been married about 70 years? Of course, he married Mrs. Jones when she was 2. 46 years. 46 years. And I look around this auditorium and I see some people who have been married many, many years. Thank God for it. There's some things that they could teach you. I believe, tucked into my lesson on how my wife and I have enjoyed our 25 years, I think the folks that have been around and married far longer, I think they'll say, yeah, some of those very things are the things that help to keep us married for 25 years. So I share with you why my wife and I have celebrated our 25th. And God helping us, in 25 more years, I'll stand up and I'll teach you a lesson as to how we made it through our 50th anniversary. Now, I mean, not just endured it. I'm talking about enjoyed it. Yeah, there are people who say, oh, we're married, but there's not the right kind of a relationship. The person that penned this passage in Proverbs said, I want to rejoice with the wife of my youth. In other words, he said, I want to look back and look at some of the things that we did and the way we lived and rejoice. I'm going to revisit those. I'm going to re-enjoy those. And I want that for you. I want it for all of us. Now, let me tell you right off the bat, My wife and I, we tried to start our marriage outright. We tried to start it outright. Listen, when we were dating, we were both right with God. We were going to church three times a week. We read our Bibles. We had a prayer life. We didn't try to get into a relationship being contrary with God. One of the greatest things you can do for your relationship, especially you young people, is you make sure you keep yourself right with God. My wife and I, we had the blessing of our parents. I did not go against her parents for us to be together. She did not go against my parents for us to be together. When we got married, I was just inches from being 21 years of age. She was 19. But let me tell you something. 25 years ago, 19 and 20-year-olds were far more mature than what they are today. You go back in history, the maturity level of young people, it has become outrageous. I know 25 and 30-year-olds that are so immature they can't take care of themselves today. And then you go back in history 100 years, and you'll find young people that were 15 and 16 that had more sense than some of the men of 25 years of age today. But we got married. I was 21. She was 19. We took when we dated, we had a chaperone. We took chaperones. You say, well, that's old-fashioned. Yes, and I think it's the healthiest thing you could do today, too. We were not alone together. We had godly, spiritual chaperones. You say, why in the world would you do that? Because I wanted her. And if I had not had a chaperone, I would have reached out and taken something that was not lawfully mine prematurely. I don't know if you're man enough to admit that you might want to do that, too. But I'll tell you, I wanted her. But I wanted to start our relationship outright. Now, so, I want to give you some reasons or some observations of how my wife and I have this privilege of 25 years later celebrating the 25th anniversary. Number one, we planned to stay married. We planned to stay married. I'm not talking about 5 years into our marriage we finally decided, well, why don't we just stay together? I mean before we got married. We plan to stay married. We started planning to finish. We didn't start with an escape plan. We didn't start out with quitting on each other as an option. We did not glibly enter our marriage commitment. We had been surrounded by failed marriages when we were growing up. Before marriage, I was very serious about getting married and staying married. My wife and I, before we were married, we sat down and we talked. We discussed and agreed a lifelong commitment. We didn't assume it. We planned it. We promised it. And it is by the grace of God that we are now celebrating our 25th anniversary. But I will say it was our original plan. We didn't get married to see if it would work out. We got married already deciding we would make it work out. Work. Doing what's hard. We actually had a pre-marriage discussion about not getting a divorce. We wanted to stay married. We wanted it so desperately. So, you say, Brother Owens, how is it that in your case, you and your wife are celebrating your 25th anniversary? We planned to stay married. Now, you young couples around here, why don't you plan to stay married? Plan it. Decide it. We're going to stay married. We're going to stick this thing out. I'll tell you something. You look to a family like Millard English and his sweet wife, 60 years. I'm going to tell you something. It's not always been easy. There have been times that there have been difficulties, but evidently they got married and they planned to stay married. I mean, for that woman to stay married to a thick-headed man like that all those years. What a woman. God bless you, Mrs. English. You can't work your way to heaven, but if you could, you earned it. But number one, we planned to stay married. We planned it. Number two, we both accepted the responsibility of staying in God's will. We both accepted the responsibility of staying in God's will. You should stay in God's will for God's sake, But you should stay in God's will for your marriage's sake. Marriage is a Christian institution. The bride and groom are pictures of Christ, the groom. And us born-again Christians, the bride. That's what it all pictures. That's what it's all about. And I needed to take the responsibility of keeping me in the will of God. Why? Because that's good for marriage. And she needed to take the responsibility of keeping herself in the will of God. You can do nothing greater to stay, you can do nothing greater for your marriage than stay right with God. You don't find two people in a marriage that are right with God that are talking about breaking up.
Right.
Oh, it didn't work that way. A poor relationship with God can produce a poor relationship in marriage. An average relationship with God usually produces an average relationship in marriage. A great relationship with God can produce a great marriage. Pick what you want. I realize I must keep me right with God to protect my part of marriage, and she realizes she must keep her right with God so she can contribute like she's to our marriage. My wife realizes, I realize we must keep ourselves right with God. It is our marital responsibility. We agreed to stay in church. We agreed to stay in the right kind of church. We agreed not to run from God. Why? We wanted to live happily ever after. So we went into marriage planning to finish what we started. Then we went into marriage planning to stay right with the God that created marriage so that we could celebrate our 25th. And I've got this hunch. If we'll do this from here on out, I think we'll make it to 50. You say, Brother Owens, we didn't agree on all those things. And some of you could sit down and say, all right, this is it. We're sticking this thing out. Number two, we're going to keep ourselves right with God for the sake of our marriage. Number three, I keep fixing me. As a husband, I keep fixing me. You know, I don't spend all my time trying to fix my wife's faults. I have my hands full with my own faults. I am so busy fixing Jeff Owens, I don't have time to fix Sherry Owens. I watch people always trying to fix each other in marriage. Listen, my wife, she's not going to fix me. I'm going to have to fix me. I must improve the one person I have power over. You know, I have power over me. Now, maybe as the head of household, I have certain power over here, but I can tell you this. There is one person that I can make do right, and that is me. And I need to keep me right with God. And as a husband, I need to fix me. Honestly, I can't make her do anything, but I can make me do what I'm supposed to do. Let me tell you something, folks. If every husband here would make himself do right and make himself the kind of husband he ought to be and stop worrying about fixing his wife, he'd probably get somewhere. And so, first of all, we plan to stay married. Number two, we accepted the responsibility of keeping ourselves in the will of God. Number three, I kept fixing me. And I have a long way to go. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. I've got a long way to go. And I'm going to keep on working on me. And I'm going to keep on fixing me. I do not think I'm a finished product in regard to being a husband. And I'm going to keep working on me. And so, you know, if you've been married for 5 years or 50 years, you still need to work on you, husband, to be a better husband. But not only that, Mrs. Owens, this is number four, Mrs. Owens keeps fixing herself. She did not spend all of her time trying to fix my faults. She has her hands full with her own fault, and I agree with that. She's so busy fixing her, she doesn't have time to fix me. She must improve the one that she has power over. She doesn't have power over me. Oh, she could make suggestions along the way, but that doesn't mean I have to listen to them. But there is one that she can for sure fix. Who is that? She can fix herself. So I don't spend all my time fixing her. She doesn't spend all her time fixing me. I keep me right with God. I keep me growing in the Lord. I keep me growing as a husband. She keeps herself right with God. She keeps herself growing in the Lord. She keeps herself growing as a wife. She can't make me do anything. Ask her. She never made me do anything. Sometimes she'll say, "Honey, this is a turn. Turn right here." I'll drive past the right exit just to prove I'm in charge of that steering wheel at that given moment. Lady, let me tell you something. No man has ever truly been lost. That is a God-given independence that we exercise. That weakness is to give you hope. Hey, she can't make me do anything, but she can make herself do what she's supposed to do. I can't make her do anything, but I can make myself do what I'm supposed to do. Let me tell you something. If every wife here would make herself do what's right to do, and every husband here would make himself do what's right to do, you'd have a good marriage. You'd have a good marriage. And so, I said this. We plan to stay married. Number two, we accepted the responsibility of keeping ourselves in the will of God. Number three, I keep fixing me. Number four, she keeps fixing her. Number five, we don't share gossip or criticism with each other. We don't talk about others behind their backs in the privacy of our marriage. My wife and I, we do not spread bad news about other people to each other. We don't want to ruin one another's spirits. We want to protect one another's attitudes and protect one another's spirits. My wife does not have a bad attitude about anybody in this church. Nobody. Now, you know, as a pastor, I know of things that people in our church do when they misbehave, when they're contrary, when they're disloyal. But you know something? Mrs. Owens knows nothing of that. You say, why? If I create a bad spirit in my wife, I got to go home and live with a woman. Some of you, you created your own hell at home. Yes, sir. Every time you turn around, you're going home talking negative to your mate, ruining their spirit. Then you wonder why you can't get along with them, why they have a bad spirit towards you. So we don't share gossips and criticisms among ourselves. Gossip is poison. The Bible compares it to poison. If gossip is poison, why in the world would I want to poison the one that I love the most? So I protect her from the poison. Don't poison one another. Don't poison one another. And so, we don't share gossip and criticisms. Number six, we've been cautious with our finances. One of the biggest problems in marriages, they make a mess financially. There's so much tension then over it. There are wives working themselves in the ground, trying to help the family bail themselves out of debt. The spending, all the tension of the credit cards and the spending out of control. See, number one, we've always tried to seek financial advice when we needed it. We were never too proud for it. We tried to get help when we needed it. We did not spend beyond our means. If you came to the Owens household today, you would find that we live in a very average house. But we have an above average marriage. And we have an above average spirit. And on payday, we don't kill each other. We're not panicked all the time. Why? Because our relationship is more important to us than things. I'm not trying to impress anybody in this church with my house. Most of the people that own homes in this church probably own a nicer home than I do. And I probably handle my finances better than most of you have. We don't fuss and fight about the finances all the time. It's not a war all the time. We're careful. You say, well, you ought to get you a big old fancy house. That shows success. I've got me a fancy marriage. That shows more success than a fancy house. And some of you wives that badger and drive your husband in the ground over things. You're liable to lose him someday. It might be wise that you love him and thank God for what he gives. And some of you men that spend ridiculously. You can't control yourself. You're like a teenager with your money. Get control of yourself. My wife and I have learned to run from debt. We try to stay as far away from debt as we can. We have tithed on the gross amount of everything we have earned. Every benefit, every gift, every inheritance. When we sold our house, we figured out what the profit was. We were faithful to God with it. We learned to keep our standard of living to a certain limit. We ate hot dogs instead of steak because I made hot dog paychecks. If it needed to be generic, it was generic. I am not in a competition with anybody else in regard to what I have, how I look, how much I make. I'm in a competition with the devil who's trying to destroy the relationships of life. And let me tell you something. Hey, when it's all said and done, how many toys you've gathered will not matter. It will be your relationships in life that are going to be most important. I'll read this to you. And when we first got married, I didn't need glasses to read. Sometime after Sidney died, his wife, Tilly, was finally able to speak about what a thoughtful and wonderful man her late husband had been. Sidney thought of everything, she told them. Just before he died, Sidney called me to his bedside. He handed me three envelopes. Tilly, he told me, I put all my last wishes in these three envelopes. After I'm dead, please open them and do exactly as I've instructed. Then I can rest in peace. What was in the envelopes? Her friend asked. The first envelope contained $5,000 with a note. Please use this money to buy a nice casket. So I bought him a beautiful mahogany casket with such a comfortable lining. I know Sidney rested in peace. The second envelope contained $10,000 with a note. Please use this for a nice funeral. She said, I arranged Sidney a very dignified funeral, and at the meal afterwards, I bought all of his favorite foods for everyone attending. And the third envelope, her friend asked. The third envelope contained $25,000, she said, with a note that said, please use this to buy a nice stone. Her friend asked, did you buy a nice stone? She said, I sure did. 10-carat diamond set in platinum. Here it is. There was a time when men handled their finances properly so that when they passed away, they did not leave their wives in the poorhouse. You might want to consider that while you're spending $40, $50, $60, $70 a week to eat out because you can consume it now. Do you know that the average man passes away 10 to 15 years before his wife? And it is his responsibility as a man to take care of her after he is gone, not just while he's living? Now, for some of you, that's heavier preaching than me preaching against the sodomites. But I love you, and I want you, as you grow old, I'd like it to be done gracefully and with some dignity and with some planning. Learn to save. Learn to save. You know, the Bible says a fool spends all. We didn't buy, in the last 25 years, what we wanted. We bought what we needed. We taught our children how to handle their finances so as they grew up, we did not have to pay their bills for them. You're supposed to do that as well. Number 7, we have not allowed our families to interfere with the success of our marriage. Our parents, neither her parents or my parents, have been allowed to come between she and I. They've not tried. They were spiritual enough to understand our marriage was our marriage. Oh, they've advised us along the way, but they stepped away. They did not try to drive a wedge between us. Our ultimate loyalties have been to each other. My parents have never, never criticized her to me. Never. They knew I wouldn't stand for it, but they're not that kind of people anyway. That's my wife. Why would they want to do the slightest thing to deter the happiness of our marriage? Her parents have never criticized me to her, ever. She had one sister one time that started to say something nasty to her about me, and she put her sister in her place. Never happened again. It is so quiet in here. Am I already on vacation and you're somewhere else or what? Our families were not allowed to come between us and detour our spiritual marriage. Our children. When babies were born, we had four of them. When our babies were born, they did not cause us to ignore each other. She didn't get so attached to the little bambinos that she and I stopped dating or having private time. We kept our relationship together. We continued to have private times. We continued to enjoy each other. While we were rearing our children, we decided we'll rear them according to the Bible and that we will stick together. And we agreed on things. We stuck together. There were no double standards in our home. She and I agreed. We found the Bible as our guide. We stuck together. Our kids didn't see one of us going one way and one of us going another. We agreed we'd be in church and we were in church. We agreed we would go by the Bible. We went by the Bible. We agreed bad music was bad music, and we stood for it together, 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 together. That's how we reared our kids. Hey, if our children did well, we stuck together. If our children struggled, we never let the children's struggles come between she and I. We loved and respected all family members, but we became our own household. And we decided we're going to serve God, we're going to get married, we're going to be happy, we're going to do the best that we know how to rear our kids, and that's what we've done for 25 years. And so you know, none of these things are we changing. It brought us safely 25 years. I think it's going to take us the next 25. Number 8, we picked our friends very carefully. We both had given up our bad friendships before marriage. We became best friends to each other. There's some of you, you're married, you're lovers, but you're not friends. You need to establish a friendship, and you need to be friends. We spent our time as a married couple with separated, dedicated, faithful, happily married Christian couples. That's what we did. We didn't want unhappy marriages to ruin the spirit of our happy marriage. My single friends, I was still a friend to them, but we didn't spend all of our time together. Single men and married men don't think the same.
Yeah, amen.
Single buddies were still checking out the women. Well, I've got news for you. When you're married, you can't be checking out anyone but the one that you got a license to check out. And I've checked. That license is permanent. It doesn't run out at the end of every year. And so, we didn't allow our families to mess up our marriage. We didn't allow wrong friendships to mess up our marriage. Number 9, we've learned to apologize. We've learned to apologize. If you're going to stay married, you're going to have to learn to say, I'm sorry. It's a must. The sooner you say I'm sorry, the better. Why spend days, weeks, months, knowing that an apology needs to be rendered, but not doing it? We learn to do it sincerely. We've also learned how to accept apologies. I was dealing with a marriage one day, and the man said, I've told her I'm sorry. He said, she will not accept apology. Not only do you need to learn to apologize, but you need to learn to accept apologies. Before we got married, our pastor sat down with us. He talked with us just a bit, and he said, one thing I want you to do. He said, my recommendation to you is once you're married that you never let the sun go down on the wrath of your marriage. He said, if the two of you are at odds with one another, you make very sure before you go to sleep that you get your marriage fixed. Never let a day pass that your marriage is not fixed at the end of the day if there have been struggles. Don't ever take that anger or that bitterness to the bed of marriage with you. There's more than one reason for that. Emotionally, you shouldn't let it happen. But number two, for the sake of the physical relationship, you ought to fix it before you go to bed so the devil does not come and tempt your mate when you're out of sorts with your mate in regard to another person entering the marriage. So we've learned. We've learned to apologize. Mrs. Owens and I, it's been a long time since we've had a tiff or a strong disagreement. I'm trying to think of a good way. It's been a long time since we had a knockdown drag out. A tiff. But I can tell you this. We decided that we would fix it before we went to sleep anytime there were disagreements. Now there have been days where we haven't slept for 3 or 4 days in a row. But we have learned to apologize. Not only that, number 10, we have learned to forgive. No marriage lasts without it. You've got to learn to forgive. Hey, we both disappointed one another, but we have both learned to forgive. We have both hurt one another, but we learned to forgive. We have both said some things we shouldn't have said, but we have learned to forgive. We have learned to forgive others, not just in our marriage. Let me tell you something. Those of you that have an unforgiving spirit, that'll hurt your marriage. You say, but it's not with my husband. It's not with my wife. I know, but it is your spirit that's affected. You need to learn to forgive others. There are people in here, you won't forgive your mom or forgive your dad. That is hurting your marriage. Learn to forgive. I'll never forget it. I'd saved some money and saved some money. We're going out and we're car shopping. And I was going to get my very first SUV. And I was so excited. I could not wait. We got to looking around. We found this one, but I couldn't afford it. It sat there, of course. It's the very one the dealer took us over to look at. And I said, well, we can't afford this. Let's move on. And then he started talking to my wife. Don't let the car dealer talk to your wife. So I'm out there, you know, I walk off, you know, I just walk off, I'm looking at everything else, he's over there talking to my wife, and you know, he was talking to me about the engine and you know, the low mileage, he's talking to her about the color, the soft seats, and all the things that don't matter anyway. And in a few minutes, she kind of saunters over to me, she said, honey, you deserve that truck right over there. You have worked hard. You're always driving something that's a little older than you deserve, and you've saved. And don't grow old wishing you would have bought something you like to drive. Let's get it. I said, honey, we don't have the money. We've not saved enough money for that yet. She said, well, if just a little extra, it's all it's going to take, and you could get it. She said, look at that. It was kind of a burnt orange Ford Explorer. And I mean, it was beautiful. It was mint, low mileage, leather seats. It was gorgeous. And finally, I said, all right, we're going to get it. And she said, don't you love the burnt orange color? And I'm thinking, a burnt orange truck. Oh, yes, honey. I really, that's the color I've always wanted. She said, isn't it beautiful? Look at those shiny rims. So we bought it. 2 days later, my phone rang. And she said, honey, where are you at? I said, well, I'm at work where I'm at every day at this time. Honey, what are you doing? Well, I'm working. I'm at work where I'm at every day at this time, doing what I do every day. Are you sitting down? Yeah. She said, I wrecked the truck. And I thought, little fender bender, she said, well, we're going to have some new parts. She said, they're towing it away right now. He said, what'd you do? Well, that was one of those where we didn't sleep for a couple of days. Because you don't want to go to sleep mad. You can't sleep when you're watching flames flashing in your brain and in your mind. We had to learn to forgive. You say, Brother Owens, you bring it up again as if it happened just recently. It was far too recent in my thinking. I'm not bitter about it. I just want to make sure she remembered. You be careful with the new truck. We learned some things. There's a reason, I believe, that God allowed us 25 years of marriage. I think it is the grace of God. I'm not here to say to those of you that you face one of the bumps and the hurts in life and you're divorced. You're not a second-class citizen to me. I'm not upset with you. I'm not trying to hurt you. Not at all. But please allow me to help the marriages that are still together. Allow me to help our young people that have not gotten married yet. Let me help pave the way so they can look back and say, I am rejoicing about my marriage in years gone by. I want them to celebrate a 25th anniversary. I want them to have that privilege and that honor. Hey, we learn to serve one another. You know, Christians are supposed to be servants. It's a wonderful way to live. Don't be stingy in marriage. Help each other. My wife is not my slave. I am not her slave. We help each other. We serve each other. I recently received a letter, and I told this story somewhere. It might have been at soul winning, but I can't remember. I received a letter. I had preached down in the Atlanta, Georgia area, and we stayed. There was a businessman. He owns some car lots and sells new cars. He and his dad are in business together, and they live in a beautiful, I have no idea how much their home costs, but I'm going to guess between $500,000 and $1 million. It is gorgeous. You go down a great big old long lane. It's all brand new. They have a prophet's chamber set up, and it's just flat out gorgeous. Their prophet's chamber is about as big as half of my house or maybe more, but just fantastic. Well, we stayed there, and I left there, and I flew back to West Virginia. It's been a couple of months ago. I got a letter this week. That letter from a man by the name of Brother Scott, that's all I'll tell you, and I got a letter from him. It was about a page long, and it said, Dear Brother Owens, and this is a very successful businessman, he said, I want you to know that you changed my life while you were here. I thought, well, what sermons did I preach? And then it said, the changing did not take place at the church. He said, my wife and I were honored to know that you were staying in the apartment that we had built to serve God's men. Said, to be honest, we were watching everything that you did. Said, I watched you every day. He said, we're out in the middle of nowhere. No houses. Nobody can see us. He said, I watched you when nobody could see how you walked your wife to the door of the car. You opened her car door, you helped her to get in, and you shut the door behind her. He said, I watched how every time you went to the vehicle, you treated her like a lady. He said, it occurred to me that if I wanted my house to be a castle, and if I wanted to be a king, I needed to treat my wife like a queen. And I watched how you treated your wife for those days. I watched how your wife was so gracious, and every time she turned and said, thank you. He said, nobody watching. Your church wasn't there. The press was not there. It was just the two of you. He said, from that day to this, I opened my wife's car door. She says, thank you. And we learned how to treat one another in private like we all fake it in public. You know how good we can be to each other in front of everyone else? If you really want to have a good marriage, start being good to each other in private. Now, ladies, for today, I'm going to guess he's going to open the car door for you. At least thank me for this one chance that you have. Serve one another. Serve one another. Hey, we've learned to take time for each other in our marriage, and I'm almost finished. We have learned to take time for each other. We go on regular dates. There's a restaurant out here in Inwood. It's called, I think it's Viva La Mexico. Is that how you say it? Something like that. We go out there and do hat dances and drink tequila. And listen, if you're a visitor, we don't do hat dances. And we don't drink tequila. We share our meals. We sit down and we take time for each other. We sit down. Hey, our children are grown, but my wife and I will sit down and we eat meals together. We take time for each other. We go on overnight retreats together every few months. We go out to Kakapa National Park and get a little cabin. There's a fireplace in there, and we drag the mattress of a bed in there by the fireplace, and we just sit there through the night. We enjoy the fireplace. We take vacations together every year. We sit and talk. We ride to church together. We take four-wheeler rides. We enjoy one another. Next, we believe that marriage is a commitment, not just an arrangement. We made a commitment to each other. We made a commitment, and that commitment was sealed with our own integrity. Our name is on the line with God. Our name is on the line with those that witness us saying, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, till death do us part. That was the promise we made. It's not a I will if you will at our place. It's I will if you won't. I put my name on the line. Jeff Owens said he was marrying that gal and doing his part. I can keep my part. She made a commitment to me. She said, I'm going to marry that man and I'll do my part whether he does his part or not. It wasn't a you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. Marriage is not a 50-50 agreement. It's 100% out of every man. It's 100% out of every woman. And if your woman won't do her part, you do your part anyway. You gave your word. There's all like a bunch of babies today. Well, she won't. Well, he won't. Well, how about you do your part and just go on and be successful doing your part, keeping your promise. Yes. I'm committed to her. She's committed to me. It's not a contractual agreement. It's a spiritual integrity commitment. There's a difference. We didn't plan to stay together when it was easy. We planned to stay together when it was hard, too. Hey, we didn't plan to stay together when there was money. We planned to stay together when there was no money, and it seems like that has been more frequent than we planned. We didn't plan to stay together when the kids were good. We planned to stay together whether the kids were good or bad. We didn't plan to stay together when we were young and attractive. We planned to stay together when we were young and attractive and old and gray and all the other things that go along with it. We didn't plan to stay together when we were healthy. We planned to stay together when we were unhealthy, too. We didn't plan to stay together just in success, but in a lack of success. Hey, we got married for better or for worse. I don't understand people. We live in a society of liars. People make promises and they won't keep them. Marriage is a commitment. Now keep your word. We have God's order in our home. God is the head of our home. I, under God, lead my home. My wife follows me, and the children follow us. That's God's way. That's God's way. I am to keep my home and myself in submission to God. The Bible very clearly teaches man is to be the head of the household. The Bible also very clearly teaches that a lady should submit to that man, and the children should submit to those parents. That is God's order. I have a picture here. I've looked at it over and over again. Randy and Sherry Butt sent me and my wife an anniversary card. It's got a picture of two monkeys on the front. The man monkey's in a tuxedo. The woman monkey's in a gown. And thank you so much. They even clarified. It says, the big guy looks a lot like you, Pastor, but the little lady looks nothing like your wife. Now, Sherry, this monkey, the man, has dark hair. I don't have dark hair, but this monkey lady, she's got blonde hair. The truth is, the lady monkey looks more like Mrs. Owens and the man monkey looks like me. But I can tell you this about the two monkeys. They're both smiling and they're both happy, and that's more than what I can say for some of you that are married. I got a picture of two monkeys happier than you are. A lot of deep spiritual truth there, huh? They're smiling to beat the band. And I wish that some of you could be like the monkeys. Because I would like for you someday to rejoice, revisit, and have joy because of your marriage as you grow older. I can't tell you how to stay married for 30, 40, 50, or 60 years. I can tell you how to stay married for the 25 that my wife and I have enjoyed, and I think the things I've said will carry us through the next 25. If you're here today and you're not saved, I want to recommend to you that you trust Jesus as your Savior. He can get involved in your marriage and start fixing the things that you don't know how to fix. There's no marriage so far gone that God couldn't fix it. God wants to help you. I hope you'll learn. Young people, get the sermon. Get this on CD. Listen to it. Listen to it over and over and over again. And let God help you to celebrate anniversary after anniversary after anniversary. Let's show a lost and dying world that you can survive this world and be happily married. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed.